The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the NXT cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my NXT cast co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just ready to talk about a really fun episode of NXT. And this
week,
we are joined by a very special guest, my co-host on the past few editions of the Rawcast, none other than Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. How's it going, Mo?
It's going well. Just found my way stumbling to another wrestling show.
Yeah, man. People are gonna they're gonna start tweeting you, man. You're gonna be overexposing yourself. You're gonna be like Charlotte Flair was this past month.
Right. Wait a minute. Are you got the Charlotte Flair effect? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm sorry.
He be boosting listens, so he got to be on all the shows, y'all.
You'll be on there be like,
listen. I got somebody that can start listening to the show, so listen, it's working. It's working. I got my old boy. He was like, I'm going to start listening to the shows now. I was like, no, we got one.
The NXT cast is a part of the WrestleCast. You can subscribe to the NXT cast through our WrestleCast feed. All you have to do is go through your iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Pocket Cast, anything that you can subscribe and listen to a podcast through. All you do is search for the WrestleCast. That's the CSPN. Click on the feed that has the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you'll be locked in to the NXT cast, the Raw cast, and SmackDown Matters. And also, if you want to hear our AEW reviews, go over to the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media.
Yes.
So now we're going to talk about this NXT. We start off hot as Imperium, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel take on Breezango.
Fabio Marsupial is who they're taking on.
We have to start with Breezango's entrance because everybody who's familiar with this podcast, they understand Imperium's entrance. They have the big I can't remember the name of that thing on song, the theme of the song, but they have the big, you know, dun, 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 dun. And so it's all dark and they're standing there very stoic, and then the lights come up and they're in their pose and they walk out all stone faced. Well, Breezango, they come out, and instead of it saying Imperium, it says Emporium. And it says Marsupial and Fabio. And they have like a remix, kind of slowed down version of Imperium's theme song. They're dressed up with the tracksuits on and everything. So just a parody entrance by Breezango to start the night off. So that was really fun. And then the match broke out, and it was a hell of a match.
Hell yeah.
Fandango hits the last dance leg drop, but the pin is broken up. As Tyler Breeze and Barthel are sent to the outside, Indashir shows up. That's when Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan arrive to fight off Indashir. Fandango has a roll-up, but he doesn't know that Aichner is the legal man. Aichner then hits a DDT to Fandango, pins him, and Imperium retains the NXT tag team titles.
I was rooting for Breezango. I wanted them to get it.
I still can't believe
Go ahead.
Oh, I still can't believe Tyler Breeze has never won a title in NXT.
Right, that is crazy to me. Homeboy is so good.
I'm surprised the DET got the pin.
Right.
You know what? I didn't even catch on to that, but yes, I'm a big fan of the DDT ending a match. Thank you very much.
Exactly. They take me back.
This was fun, man. You really forget that Tyler Breeze and Fandango, man, they're really good wrestlers.
They are.
And if they ever had a chance to carry the titles, that they definitely, you know, it may be all fun and games outside of the ring and things, but when that bell rings, man, those two guys can go. And they're really so serious. Good.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Phillips, he's conducting a split screen interview with the Velveteen Dream about what's next for him, because of course, by him losing the backlot brawl to Adam Cole, baby, he can no longer go after the NXT heavyweight title as long as Adam Cole is the champion. So as the Velveteen Dream is speaking, Dexter Lumis pops up behind him and he places a drawing next to him. Velveteen Dream picks up the drawing and it shows Velveteen Dream and Dexter Lumis as NXT tag team champions. Dream says, Dexter Lumis helped me, then I helped Dexter Lumis. That's just called, you know, favor for a favor. He said, but this is a big misunderstanding, Dexter, because the Dream is a solo act.
Okay, Dexter Lumis just there, just looming about, just lurking.
Right.
God, why his name is Lumis? Because he's looming about. Who are you, man? Why was Dream not more concerned that all of a sudden a random drawing appeared next to him? I would have turned around and leaped over the couch and be like, get out of my peripheral. God damn it. Be more concerned.
Yeah, they really need to do a background piece on Dexter Lumis. Even if it's like a voiceover thing of him being like, you know, I used to be in the military and I was, you know, explain why he's so creepy.
Yeah.
They already got the military gimmick going on and they already off of TV because somebody can't keep them their tweet shut, so...
Oh yeah, Jackson Riker, way to mess up everybody money.
Well, right. Bye. I forgot you the minute they took you. I forgot you anyway, so I don't care. Bye.
The minute they took the blade last, you like, who? What? Yeah.
Like, you were forgettable anyway, so I'm fine.
Yep. His tweeting messed up everybody's money, so... Forgotten Sons are off of TV, and you know, that's why they remain forgotten.
Right. Twitter fingers gonna get you fucked up.
We see Damian Priest arriving to the Performance Center, and as he's getting out of his Dodge Charger or a Challenger, excuse me, we see Cameron Grimes lurking in the background. Damian Priest takes on Killian Dane in our next match. Damian Priest hits a springboard forearm for a two count, while Dane gets a two on his running cross body. Damian Priest fights back, and he hits the Reckoning to pick up the victory. I'm going to be honest with you. Damian Priest took a hell of an ass whooping in this match. Killian Dane was dragging him.
Right, I was just like, God damn.
Like,
it was a really good match.
Hoss match. What is Killian
Dane? Like, they have him like here, and then he disappears for like 37 years, and then he's back, and then he's gone again, and then he's like, "Oh, hey, here I am," and then they're like, "Nope, psych, like, just kidding." Like, what?
I think he goes back and forth between NXT UK.
Oh, keep him on one thing.
How's the travel thing working though?
Yeah.
Well, he may not be doing as much of that right now, but I think before the reason he was off was because he was doing UK.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They should have just put him on this one because I like him.
I need to see him back on my TV like ASAP, so we need to get this thing under control.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when they're going to allow international people to come in. They're barely getting people, you know, on commercial flights in the United States where they need to go. Right. So I don't know about international, but yeah, hopefully, you know, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and those guys can get back into NXT and become more integrated again as they were trying to do at the beginning of this year before the pandemic broke out. Mm-hmm. During the commercial break, Killian Dane is walking back up the aisleway after the loss, and a drunken Robert Stone leaning on the plexiglass catches his eye. So Killian Dane just runs over to the plexiglass and smacks it, and of course, he just knocks Robert Stone's disheveled self, you know, right on over. And you know, he's got the like brown bag with the 40. I mean, it looks like he went from a coke binge to a drunken binge. So it's getting worse for our man here.
It's better for me over time because it makes me laugh. He's so
funny. I'm out. He laughs. He laughs every day.
Right. He's like, baby, come back.
So that leads into Aaliyah taking on Xia Li. Well, when
Aaliyah looked like a little pink Power Ranger. I like this gear.
Yes, she did.
I was like, ooh. I was like, come on, shiny pleather. I liked it. It was good.
As Aaliyah is walking out to the ring, she notices Robert Stone laying down over there, all drunken and, you know, disheveled. So she picks him up and drags him into her corner. So during the match, Robert Stone, he gets on the apron. And you know what happens when you drink too much, y'all, and you move around too much. Stomach got upset. He throws up in the ring. Aaliyah uses the distraction to get the roll up on Xia Li, and Aaliyah gets the three count and the victory.
I mean, this is a better distraction than somebody coming out and just staring you down. So that was creative. I was like, ew, though. Corona, guys. Corona.
So, yeah, I don't know where this is going to go.
I don't know.
Quintessential R said that Aaliyah is going to buy that man a PlayStation 5. Let him use her car full of gas, and she's basically, like, you know, get him back on his feet.
Right,
yeah,
she's gonna treat him like an
aspiring
SoundCloud rapper.
Right, you could be like, this, like, I'm getting paid off my girl account.
Right, I'll get you back next time, baby. I got you. I got you. You don't got you. He's gonna go buy freaking all the beer with it.
All the Modelo. Like, I'm back. I'm like, man, right. You go support me.
We go to a video of Timothy Thatcher teaching his catch wrestling class. He's showing the young students how to do the Fujiwara armbar and also the double wrist lock. So this is basically kind of like a updated version of what they used to call the snake pit. There's one in Wigan, which is in England. There's also one famously in Florida. And basically what the snake pit of Florida was kind of what Hulk Hogan tried out into, where they broke his leg, where they would basically have these wrestling trainees come in, run them to death, get them really tired, and then get them in the ring and then put these shoot holes on them to make them squeal and make them tap out to try to run these guys off. And if they returned, then they were like, okay, we'll teach you how the wrestling business works. So
yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, so if you ever want to see kind of like what it looks like, just look up Bob Roop Sugar Hold. And what it is, it's Bob Roop in the snake pit in Florida. And there's this wrestling term called a sugar hold, where you kind of like, it's a way you can grab a guy and kind of like make him pass out. Well, Bob Roop has like an amateur off the street guy who wants to get into wrestling in this hold. And yeah, you can you can see what a real sugar hole looks like. So, yeah, so this is kind of what this Timothy Thatcher thing reminds me of. It's just like he's kind of stretching guys and putting them through pain, blues, and agony to see who is tough enough to pass his class. Very interesting, and I'm very interested to see where it's going to end up. Like, is there going to be a student in there that turns on him, or where's his next challenge going to come from since Matt Riddle got moved up?
Yep.
Now I know it's time for Miss Simi's favorite part of the show. It's time for Undisputed Therapy.
Yes.
Adam Cole, Bebe, and Bobby Fish. They care about their friend Roderick Strong so much that they've decided to take him to therapy to get over Dexter Lumis and his issues that he has after the backlot brawl match. They tell him that the doctor is the best that they can find. They have Roddy close his eyes and lay down on the couch. The therapist, none other than Kyle O'Reilly.
My boy.
With an accent and some glasses. They do the picture test. Roddy sees muscles in the first one. He sees Dexter Lumis in the second one. And he sees the trunk he was locked in the third picture. Kyle suggests that he face the trunk to face his fears. So Roddy finally agrees. And when it comes time to get into the trunk, just so he can get in it, get over the fear, he's like, nah, man, I can't do this. And he just starts sprinting the opposite direction.
Yo, Roderick Strong is a fucking MVP. He's so funny. He was just like, he's always staring at me. You know how I feel about people staring at me. It was so funny.
And then they're looking over the couch at him. He's like, y'all are staring at me.
Right. It was gold. I loved every single piece of this. Keep going. I love it.
I'm glad that they could find a way to kind of keep Kyle O'Reilly on TV while he's injured right now.
Is he injured? I thought he was just because of the whole, he wasn't going down there because of the pandemic and he got like diabetes or something like that.
Well, that may be the real reason, but the TV reason is they just said they've been saying he was injured since the takeover. Yes, the last takeover he was in.
All right, well, that's cool. That's cool. But at least that's the thing, we still got to put the fear guard in Roderick Stone, and he's like,
he's like, nope.
Can't
see, he's done the smart thing. He's paranoid, so that means he keeps his head on a swivel. Nobody else does. They just let Dexter Lumis loom everywhere.
So Adam Cole is being interviewed backstage with the Hourglass from last week. When asked about Karrion Kross and Scarlett's message, he says each challenge ends the same way, with Adam Cole, baby, getting his hand raised. That's when Keith Lee walks up behind him and asks for a moment with the NXT champion. Lee says Adam Cole's time as champion is limited, but it won't be Karrion Kross who takes the gold. It'll be him. Keith Lee then smashes the hourglass on the ground. Adam Cole storms off, and Keith Lee says, tick tock.
Ooh, spicy. I like it.
Keith Lee might not should have done that.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. Now you got my girl Scarlett bad.
Yeah, bro.
So, after the backstage interaction with Keith Lee, Adam Cole heads to the ring. He gets on the microphone. He puts over his title reign, currently at 381 days. He says, it's annoying that people think they can just throw their names around for title shots. Karrion Kross, he did beat Tommaso Ciampa, but Adam Cole has been there and done that. He says he has a long way to go before he can get to a title shot. He says, as for Keith Lee, Adam Cole says maybe he feels like carrying the North American title for 381 days too. He says maybe he wants two titles, and then maybe he'll be known as the champ, Bebe. Everybody wants to be like Naito, walk around with two belts.
Right.
So,
like, So that brings out Keith Lee. He comes face to face with Adam Cole, but before he can say anything, Johnny Gargano comes out. He says he pinned Keith Lee last week, and he's coming for that North American title. Why stop there, though? Gargano wants to have himself and Candice as the NXT and NXT Women's Champions together at the same time. Keith Lee mentions that he showed more concern for Candice last week than Gargano did, and that he also notes that she thanked him for giving her the most action she has seen in a while. That's when Finn Balor comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor says, hey, now that I'm here, I guess all you guys can start being marks for yourself. And then he gets in the ring and he says that he wants a title that he's never held. Johnny's like, hey, first of all, my name's not Mark. And then he tells him he needs to get in line. Finn says that he cuts to the front of the line. He warns Keith Lee that he's coming for the NXT North American title. And then he says after he wins that title, he's coming straight for Adam Cole. Then Finn, in a real disrespectful tone, called Adam Cole a transitional champion. Adam Cole's like, a transitional champion? I'll beat your record, fool. So they trade bars back and forth until William Regal appears on a Titantron. He announces that next week, Keith Lee will defend the North American title against Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor in a triple threat match, and that winner of that match will face Adam Cole on July 8th in a winner-take-all title versus title match.
Spicy. This was a great segment. I was like, oh, y'all better talk your shit. Yes. This person had a bark. This person had a jab. This person had a lob. I was just like, yes, great. Keep going. I was into it.
Finn was the spiciest out of everybody.
Isn't he always go?
Can't believe
what he does.
Can't believe he called Adam Cole a transitional champion.
Right? And in that Irish accent, it makes it even more disrespectful. I was like, yes.
Speaking of all these former NXT champions in the ring, where we current champion as well, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano, I want to direct everybody over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media, to this week's dark match, as Mo to the underscore Reese, Quintessential R, and myself reveal our top five plus an honorable mention NXT champions since 2014.
You could just hear me say woo.
Say what you said again, Mo.
I said, hey, if you want to just hear me say woo.
Oh, yes, yes. There are some discrepancies among the lists. I will be tweeting out the list of champions, and then you guys can tell us who your top five NXT champions since 2014 are in your eyes and estimation. We can also left a spot for honorable mention, so you can actually have six nominees in our list. So please be on the lookout for that during this weekend and tell us who are your top five NXT champions. After that little promo in the ring, Keith Lee is interviewed in the back. But Candice LeRae interrupts to scold him about what he said about, you know, the action line with Johnny. Keith Lee doesn't even say anything. He just points behind her. Mia Yim's behind her. Mia Yim starts beating the brakes off of Candice. And they have to be pulled apart by the officials.
Mia Yim in some cute little shorts. I was like, hey, beat her up. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, it's pretty much on site right now when it comes to him and Candice LeRae in Mia's eyes.
That Cardi B line is, if I got to beef with a bitch, I got to beef with her forever. That's Mia Yim. Forever.
In a low-key Bay matchup, Dakota Kai took on Caden Carter.
Yeah.
Caden Carter, yes.
Y'all know how I feel about Caden Carter, her little green eyes.
She's so cute.
I agree with you.
I also agree as well.
Dakota Kai is out here with Raquel Gonzalez, Big Mama Cool. Caden Carter is out there with her tag team partner, Casey as Dee Dee Jonet calls her so and so.
Little Casey.
Don't forget to show Dee like that.
Raquel gets involved in a match, and so Casey tries a crossbody off of the apron. Raquel catches Casey and then just throws her onto the apron, so Casey's just out of it. Kaden Carter kicks out of a roll-up, but she gets caught in a Koji clutch, and she taps out, and Dakota Kai gets the win.
Casey is like the equivalent. She's like a Lady Marco Stunt. She's so little, but she wants to fight like the biggest person. And I'm like, baby, you're going to die. Stop. She's so feisty.
I continue to like the way that they're building up Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. They're not in the main event, but they're on the fringes, and they're beating up all the little like up and coming baby faces that everybody wants to see do well. I think it's a really good way to get Raquel Gonzalez over as the muscle.
Right.
With her being able to, you know, throw Casey around, you know, doing the same thing with smaller women like Kaden Carter as well.
Right.
And it allows her to, you know, boost up her status as a heavy.
Right. And doing it in a Flames crop top, Flames little halter crop top. I was like, work, Raquel. You look great. You're doing great. This is a good little match. I like this.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And some black and white footage, we see the boots of one Scarlett Bordeaux walking up to the hourglass. She reaches down and picks up some of the sand, and then a foot steps on a piece of the broken glass. So, yeah, the fallen prey TikTok collective have come to get their property, and that means they're probably gonna have some eyes set on Keith Lee here coming up soon.
Keithford, watch yourself.
I know this made you happy, as we got a vignette to hype up Mercedes Martinez. All my ladies from the Forever Young cast, I know they got a big cheer for that. Mercedes Martinez, we thought she was going to be maybe a member of AEW. She had showed up on their first pay-per-view and done a couple of things there. She showed up. She showed up in the Women's Classic the last time she was here in WWE, but it looks like now she has become official member of NXT. So,
should be way to follow the bag, AEW.
Yeah, she had that match with Shayna.
Yeah.
You know, a few months back before the court. I mean, maybe last year, end of the year last year, kind of her foyer into NXT. But now it looks like she's going to be here full time. So,
yeah,
she's going to be a great addition to the division.
This badass biker chick aesthetic, I'm here for it.
Yeah, a veteran that can help a lot of the younger girls as well. And she can also be, you know, very forceful into the main event scene if they want to put her there too. So big things are going for Mercedes Martinez when she gets here full time. Two of your favorite semi, but for totally different reasons. Bronson Reed versus Leon.
Oh, my pickums and my chicken wing. That's what they are.
Bronson Reed just runs over Leon Ruff at the bell. He hits the senton, and then he hits the big boy splash, and he gets the win.
Bye. Leon Ruff was so excited, too.
I'm really glad that somebody told Leon Ruff that he could mug the camera this week.
Right.
Because if he didn't, you wouldn't have even known that he was on NXT this week. That match was over in like 25 seconds.
Woo, and you knew it would be. I was like, why would you do that to him? Okay. You guys.
So apparently, Leon Ruff dates Aja Wilson, the black ref.
Yeah, the referee. Yeah.
So that's how he getting these NXT checks. And I'm not mad. Yeah. Hey, you know, keep all in the family.
Yeah, she tweeted like a little picture on Twitter. Was like, when you get to referee your boyfriend's match. I was like, oh, this is adorable. What? He's another one. I hope his chiropractor is A1 because. Ooh, he got folded up.
Bronson Reed, he gets on the mic and he says that he's not someone to forget. He says he's going to do something that everybody seems to be afraid of around here. He's calling out Karrion Kross for a match next week.
That's right.
We hear some developing situations are going on out in the parking lot because, of course, Full Sail parking lot is the most dangerous place in America.
They still ain't got security. I know we found the kidnappers, but you still need security. What if there's a copycat?
Damian Priest is livid. He's found all four of his tires slashed. While he's throwing a fit, Cameron Grimes drives up and says, "Hey, Damian, can I call you an Uber?" And then zooms on off.
I'm about to say, where was Miz and Johnny, whatever his name is, wherever they at?
Santos Escobar comes out flanked by Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. Yeah, I hear that Santos Escobar is making the way up the Creepcast ranks among the ladies of the WrestleCast.
Yes, he is.
Escobar says Fantasma was the name associated with Lucha. In NXT, he knew his time as El Hilo del Fantasma was over. Together with Wilde and Mendoza, they are going to make an impact. That's when Drake Maverick interrupts to say Santos tricked everyone. He has more guts than brains, and he attacks Escobar. Drake fights off Wilde and Mendoza, and then he hits a dive, but the numbers are too much for him. They finally get the upper hand. They throw him, like, throat first on the guardrail, then they throw him over the guardrail. Then we fight our way over to a platform where there's a table underneath. They get him up, and Escobar hits him with a Phantom Driver through a table.
Oof.
Yeah, that looked like it hurt.
Yeah, them cups went flying. I was like, goddamn.
During the break, we see the EMTs scraping Drake Maverick off of the ground and onto a stretcher and loading him into the back of an ambulance. Oh man, what was I gonna say about the Santos dude?
Was he King Cuerno in Lucha Underground?
Yeah, King Cuerno. Yeah, that was him. Okay. Yeah.
Oh really? Okay.
Oh, there was something I was gonna say. Oh, Drake Maverick. It's like Friday. Man, boy, what you doing around? Come around here messing with these good people.
Yeah, honestly.
It's like they wouldn't even think about you,
right? Like you just put yourself right in their crosshairs,
right? So it looks like Drake Maverick's gonna have to pull a Cody Rhodes, come out there and be like, "Hey, Jake Atlas, Kushida, all these guys who was like rooting for me and telling y'all had my back like 2 weeks ago. Where was y'all?
Right, right. Where were they? He ain't got no friends. Where they at?"
It's rough out here, man, when you get beat up and don't nobody come to your aid.
I guess.
At least Cody had people come to his aid. He was just like, it wasn't my folks, though.
Right, it wasn't my homies, but he had people.
I had people help me out.
Right. It was just like, nobody? Akira? I know you're being a ninja right now, but come on. Bring your ninja skills here, sir. He needs your help.
They were the big black ninjas to help me out, please.
Exactly. Bring Shaq Ninja.
That would be, as we have dubbed him through the WrestleCast, Tall Bruce Leroy.
Oh, yes. Leroy.
That's going to be his name going forward and everything on TV.
Regardless of what they call him on TV.
Nope, he's going to say Tall Bruce Leroy.
They keep calling him Big Ninja in this climate. Somebody going to mess up and they're going to be off TV. Yep.
You know somebody will. It's going to be like that Booker T thing all over again.
They're going to flip him and say the wrong thing and be like, your push is over.
Exactly. They're going to say with a little too much of a twinge or something else, they're going to be like, you got to go.
Just have a seat.
Right. Only the blacks can do it. Not the other one.
Right.
There's a rule.
So that brings us to our main event of the evening.
Yeah.
Bayley, Sasha Banks defending the WWE Women's Tag Team titles against Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox,
who had the jacket that I like. Plus 1 point for her.
She's accumulating.
She's accumulating.
But she started. She started at a negative, so she still got some.
She did. So you know, you got to work your way up, baby. You got to work your way up.
Tegan gets Sasha on her shoulders, like they're gonna do the like doomsday device. She tags in Shotzi, but Sasha is able to like get down off of Tegan's shoulders and run her into the turnbuckles. But just as when she kind of gets her balance back and looks up, Shotzi comes off with a missile drop kick to Sasha, knocks her down. So they begin to trade pin attempts, and Sasha gets the bank statement. But Shotzi manages to break free and locks in a modified cattle mutilation. Bailey tries to stop the pin, stop the submission with the chair, but Tegan cuts her off. She grabs the chair from Bailey, and while Bailey takes advantage of the referee arguing with Tegan, who is holding the chair, allowing Bailey to turn the submission over. That means Sasha gets back into the bank statement. Sasha has to tap, and Bayley and Sasha Banks retain the women's tag team titles.
Woo! What a match! What a match! Now this is how you get talent over. People got to have their works in, and Bayley and Sasha didn't quite get such a clean win. Shotzi, goddamn Blackheart! This lady is crazy, and I love her.
I
want to see Sasha versus Shotzi. I want it. I need it in my life. I want it.
Shotzi versus Sasha, Tegan versus Bailey, and then mix up the order all over again.
Basically.
Yeah, this was fun. This was fun.
So I mean, fun.
It was predictable just based off how they have set up, you know, Monday Night Raw for next week. But still getting there, and like you said, watching Shotzi Blackheart get a chance to shine and perform to her utmost ability in this match. I mean, she was probably the star of this match.
She really was.
She got more of the match than Tegan did. Tegan didn't even hit her normal like Lady Kane spots or any of that. So it was kind of set up for Shotzi to kind of be the standout here, and she definitely took advantage of it.
Right, but Tegan did good. Good job, Tegan. She did real good there.
And Sasha and Bailey just coming back to NXT.
Is when I need Hustle crowd.
They are exactly.
Oh, the pop they would get. Oh, imagine it.
So the champions, they're celebrating in the ring. They're
Bailey howling.
Yeah. They're talking their stuff. They're admiring their championships. When surprisingly, the celebration is cut off when Io Shirai springboard drop kicks Bailey. Then she German suplexes Sasha, which I thought she might have hurt her.
Right?
You know how we feel about Sasha. She's so little.
She's so dramatic, too. Like I think it was Tegan that hit her. The girl, like, fell into a death drop. Right? I'm like, Sasha, please. My heart. I can't take this.
Then Io Shirai hits them both with a bullet train attack. Both of the women go to the outside. Io taunts diving on them. She rolls through, does a backflip, and then Io holds her title high. She stares him down and tells him that this is her NXT.
Beautiful. Brilliant. Stand up, slow clap. Loved it.
Everybody's like, we ain't seen Io Shirai since she won the title. That's what I said. It's getting all
impatient. I'm everyone. I'm everyone. That was impatient. Me. Well, I want to see my girl.
Now I want to see Io Shirai versus Bailey, Io Shirai versus Sasha, Io Shirai find a tag team partner, go up against Bailey and Sasha.
Io Shirai, Shotzi, Tegan versus Bailey, Sasha, and a member of their choice. I just, give me.
Yes.
That's all I want to say. Just give to me.
Yes, this last half hour just was like, man, there's like six new matches in the women's division that I need
to see. Like, I need it right now, right this moment.
I had no idea prior to Wednesday night that I needed these matches in my life. But yes, I do.
And shout out to those negative people who were so mad that Bailey and Sasha got the titles. Why did they give them the titles? This is why. because they know how to build up a division, people. That's why they got the titles. Gosh right. darn it. I'm going to get out of my stand-up now. I'm just saying.
Did you like the fanfic moment that they had on Monday after Peyton Royce smacked Sasha and Bayley went crazy, and then Bayley was like over there like like rubbing on Sasha's hair?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
Like, oh, fanfic right there.
Basically, I also like when Sasha got Bayley's hair out of her face. I love every moment with them. You need. I don't know if you saw the like interview that they did after on like the WWE Network.
No.
You need to see that because they are so funny. Like the new interviewer girl, like asked them questions. She was just like, "Okay, first of all, you didn't introduce yourself to us." And they're like, "We've been gone for like 5 years, and look at us. We still got it. Look at us. It's so funny." You need to watch those interviews like afterwards because the way that they brag, it's like hilarious.
Well, that was this week's edition of NXT. A very similar format to AEW this week. It began with a tag team title match. Only difference is that AEW doesn't have two tag team titles that they could put in the main event. So they had a number one contenders match in their main event. But tag team wrestling was showcased
at
the forefront on Wednesday night on both shows. But NXT was really good. That promo segment with Keith Lee, Johnny Gargano, Finn, and Adam Cole was probably the, you know, one of the main highlights of the show for sure. Moted underscore Reese, your thoughts on just the show overall, what you liked, and your takeaways?
Great matches. Definitely want to see Shotzi and Keegan go up against Bayley and Sasha one more time. And then EO come out here and say, "This is my NXT. So, you know, y'all had your time, but it's my show now." So. And also, like, it's set up for the match for the NXT North American Championship, and then the winner for that goes up against Adam Cole. Definitely want to see how that turns out. And Karrion Kross and Scarlett, they're going to get somebody for a break. Keith Lee better watch his back.
Right.
He's trying to focus on Johnny and Candice. He got other problems. And you talk about Dexter Lee receiver.
Miss Simi, your thoughts and takeaways from this week's NXT?
Great show. I actually enjoyed NXT a little bit better than AEW this week, which was this was a packed show. I loved all the promos with Adam Cole and Keith Lee in them. That was great. The Undisputed Era segment was amazing. I want them to keep going. Of course, I love the tag team women's championship match. That was so good. That match was my favorite. And then the first tag team with Breezango and Imperium. Those are like my two favorite matches of the night. Great show. Go watch it.
Yeah, this was continues a strong week of television for WWE. Monday Night Raw had their highest rating since WrestleMania, after WrestleMania. So,
that's nice.
Yeah, kudos to Miss Simi for boosting the rating.
You're welcome, guys.
And then, like she said, this NXT was really, really strong. After a period there of about a month. They've been kind of on a downslope. They've been ratcheting their stuff back up. It's leading into TakeOver in Your House, and TakeOver in Your House was really strong. And then these two episodes of NXT following it have been very good as well. So looks like the boys over there, Road Dogg, Triple H, Hunter, they're starting to get their stuff back together.
Yeah.
It seems like they do that like maybe once every like year and a half. They kind of have a little spot where this is like, well, guys, we're kind of burned out. We got to like get our, you know, juices recharged, and then we'll like get ready to come back strong for another long extended run of great NXT TV. So hopefully we're headed into that long stretch right now with this with this set of television that's picking up the last couple of weeks. I'm very interested in where this Velveteen Dream thing is going.
He might be moving to the main roster, probably. Cause, like, what else is he going to do?
Right. If he doesn't want to pursue the tag team titles with Dexter Lumis, I mean, right, really not much for him to do at this point on NXT if they're not going to let him be the champion.
Right.
He's already been North American champion. Uh-huh. So, yeah, there's not much more he can do.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting just because I think, those allegations from earlier in the spring are still... anything new, so I guess that's good news. But you haven't heard anything like, hey, it's all cleared up and this was, it's false and there's not anything, no weight behind or anything. So
I still got my eye. Right. I got one eye on you.
Right. It's really, I think that really affected the way he got booked in these two matches against Adam Cole because.
Yeah.
And plus, Velveteen Dream didn't do itself any favors by being hurt for so long, too.
Right.
And
even with that.
And the way they built the match to Adam Cole was kind of funky by using Roderick as the kind of misdirection, too. So it wasn't like a direct build-up between him and Adam Cole. So it was just kind of all kind of just a weird collaboration of circumstances that kind of has cooled Velveteen Dream off and a little bit, and for some reason they just didn't feel confident to pull the trigger and make him the champion. So I can't wait to see what goes on with him. But yeah, another strong episode of NXT. Next week's episode seems like it's going to be really good as well, with that big triple threat match for the North American title. Just by the tease of the hourglass, that Karrion Kross is going to be up in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I'm going to turn it over to first Miss Simi for her shout outs and thank yous.
Well, shout out to you, Don. Shout out to Bo for being a guest. Shout out to the whole CSPN family and shout out to Miss Didi Jone. Had fun.
Mr. Mo to the underscore. Your shout outs and thank you, sir.
Thanks for you both for having me on. Shout out to Quan. Obviously, to talk wrestling with him on the timeline and doing a podcast. Shout out to Dee Dee, Gray. Shout out to Craig. Shout out to Classic and Mel, because Mel always gets shout out. Shout out to everybody who tweets with us. See you on the timeline.
You're right.
I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Simi and also Mosa underscore Reese. Give a shout out to Quintessential R, who joined us on the dark match. So like I said, please tune in over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Subscribe to the dark match and you'll get that AEW review and also our list of the top five NXT champions since 2014. Give a shout out to Mr. Samuel Kalunga. Give a shout out to Greg and his family. Hopefully they're doing well. Classic Materia as well. Miss Didi Jone. Can't wait to talk to you again. Maybe in a couple of weeks we're going to bring SmackDown Matters back. Miss Jade to the Max and all of the Wrestle Bays and gorgeous ladies of the WrestleCast. Definitely appreciate y'all so much. Seahawk for initiating the topic of the dark match. We appreciate you. And any of the new listeners who have found the podcast in the last couple of weeks due to the hashtags or someone sharing the link, we definitely appreciate you. Hope that you stick around and also join us in the hashtags each and every week to share your commentary with color. So for Miss Simi and Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLorenzo. This has been episode 10 of the NXT cast, and we'll see you next week.
See you in the hashtags. Wear your mask.